All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, April 24th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. We made it to Friday. It's always so difficult. It's like me dragging myself to the finish line, but I made it. We made it. Friday shows are always tough for me because by Friday, my brain is just so fried. I'm ready for a day off. Like I said the other day, it's like doing a research project and presentation every day on top of everything else. It's pretty difficult because it typically means 2 to 4 or 5 a.m. that you're doing your research. And I hate to tell you, but last night I didn't. So we're just going to go cherry picking and find some stuff that I've put together during the week because I didn't do any research last night. But I did find a couple good clips after the show. Hey, I looked outside this morning. We were getting some sleet again. I had heard down in the southern tier of New York yesterday, we got 5 inches down there. Up here, I mean, it was just a dusting, little sleet balls everywhere. But it's 34 degrees and light snow. So how nice is that? Happy spring. Anyway, yesterday I titled the show Hijacked Brain Chems, Buy, Consume, and the Love of Things. And that's pretty much what we talked about yesterday and just how we've been manipulated and tricked into the system that they have us in now that forces us to have to work 40 hours to then participate in the machine that then keeps us so busy that we have no time for anything else. And I guess I always had kind of seen that, but the story we read yesterday and the way we kind of broke it out, I don't know, I thought it it actually laid it out quite well and helped us realize how that system had evolved. Couple of the things that I found after the show yesterday, I had mentioned many times the while talking about pharmaceutical companies, April and Burstein having a guest on who wrote a book called Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher and how great her interview was. I found her name. Her name is Gwen Olson. I always forget every time I mention her. But I do have a little clip that we're going to look at here in a little bit from her, just to kind of emphasize everything we've been saying about how research and development and the end of the pharmaceutical company is too expensive, and they've cut way back. And honestly, it is less expensive for them to put out a product without the full spectrum testing than it is for them to do the testing and then just pay if any lawsuits come after, which is really disturbing because that means that the hen is now watching the hen house. Is that what it is? The fox, the hen. The fox is in the hen house. And nobody that is trying to convince you that taking any of these vaccinations is good for you or they're safe or it's in the best interest of your children are really thinking about your children. I wanted to announce, too, I've made contact through April. April hooked me up with the people that are running the May Day vaccine marathon. I had to close that. My other computer is completely, I don't know, it worked fine last night. And it's one of those mornings I wake up and nothing. I was in chat for 2 seconds and 3 browsers on the whole machine locked up, and now everything's just frozen. So the whole machine needs to be rebooted, but I'm not going to deal with that now because it was 2 minutes to air. But April hooked me up yesterday with, it's called Mayday. Like I said, everything's closed on that machine now, so I can't get there. But it was the Mayday Vaccination Truth Marathon, I think is what they called it. I have made a tab on UCY. It's not enabled yet, but it will be. I put together their little banner so it fit on our page. I got all the guests together, so we're waiting for finalization on some of their titles and stuff. I got their stream set up. So next Friday, I still got to double check with LaVon, make sure she's okay with taking a day off. If she's not, then I will just put her on in the last hour where her show comes in. But the marathon starts next Friday at 8 a.m. So I will not be on because they're going to preempt me. It'll be nice. It'll give me Friday off. 8 a.m. until midnight. Yes, you heard me. 8 a.m. Eastern until midnight. We are going to be simulcasting it all day. And they have quite the plethora of guests. Many of them are different doctors and PhDs that are going to be talking about things that they know about vaccines. April is going to be a guest on there as well. I think I saw Mike Adams. Mike Adams can be on it like around 10. And there were a couple other names I recognize, but right now I don't have the list in front of me. So anyway, just keep your heads up. They have their own chat, so I made them the page. I embedded their chat on there. But just like we've done in the past when we've run other marathons and we have another chat, you know, and a page with all the hosts, will be archiving every hour for them. And I told them I'll be pushing it up to YouTube if they want that too. I don't know. I need to have a conversation with them today. So anyway, just know, big marathon coming next Friday. Being a parent, I'm going to tell you, I feel so strongly about this. Everything that we've dug up in regards to the crazy mad science gone mad that they're doing, and now with the push, and I'm watching very closely what's going on in California with these mandatory vaccines, not gonna fucking happen, okay? Can I tell you that? This is not gonna fucking happen, period. This is gonna be like, you don't even know how Psychoville parents are gonna get. and they're trying to convince us, and this is why I'm gonna play this RX drug pusher clip here soon. Because they're trying to convince us, and we've established this, I think, pretty firmly, that we should be looking at the research. We should be looking at the research. And we're just so tinfoil hatty. I had it out with somebody briefly in a sentence or two. But I did a zing on that Science Alert Facebook page. People are so brainwashed. And I mean, look at the topics we spend before the first cup on, okay? That's one of them. And how they've brainwashed us and how they've convinced us in this alter reality that isn't really true. And all these ways that they fake our brain to believe what they want it to believe. And they've hijacked so many different pathways. But it's true. Why would you believe something that, A, the results are motivated by profit, B, the results of the studies were motivated by profit, C, we find that the studies, many of them were fraudulent or fake peer-reviewed or paid to put in there or found to be false after the fact and never retracted or redacted or modified in any way, shape, or form. Then we have all this fast-tracking going on. And that's something we're going to talk about. So fast-tracking, there's a couple different fast-tracking. The fast-tracking I'm talking about is FDA fast-tracking right at the moment. FDA fast-tracking, in the event of an emergency, will allow them to push through new fangled medications, sometimes even black box. You know, they're working on a black box project right now where I don't remember what university it was. Maybe it was Kansas, actually, where they're moving Plum Island. But yeah, actually, I think it was Kansas. They're working on a black box project. And it was Watson. I think they were utilizing IBM's Watson computer to do this. They were working on a black box project where they're analyzing all of the formerly approved drugs that are out there, and they're comparing them to a disease database to see if they can find any off-label uses for different drugs that are already approved. Of course, that means additional profits for the pharmaceutical company. Also means that a drug might be utilized, and they do this now, a drug might be utilized in a way that it wasn't quite intended for a different purpose. We've mentioned this before, like Wellbutrin as a quit smoking drug. versus an antidepressant or whatever the hell it was. It's some sort of SSRI, some sort of psychotropic, whatever. I know they gave it to me for quitting smoking, and it didn't make me feel too hot. It made me feel like someone had given me a freaking frontal lobotomy when it was over. And quite honestly, for weeks after that, I felt like half, I mean, literally, I, you know how you have like self-awareness, you know where your five fingers and toes are, even if you're not looking, you know where your head is, even if you're not looking in a mirror, right? You know where the top of your head is, you know where your brain approximately sits. You can kind of feel it, even though you can't see it. Well, I literally was walking around feeling like someone had sliced off half the top of my head after I had taken that medication. That's what it made my brain feel like. That's a long time ago, but don't take that stuff. And that was off-label usage, so who knows? Anyway, so I want to get back here really quick. So there's all these diseases coming now. Again, like we said yesterday, here, there, and everywhere, which is giving them just carte blanche now to start rolling out, you know, the vaccine machine. And here it comes. Bird flu worsening in Ohio. Now it's in. Did I see yesterday? We got to find this. I thought I saw 12 states. Now, that's horrifying. If we have bird flu in 12 states already, I mean, where was that in the headlines? The first I saw was the other day, 5.3 million chickens being euthanized in Iowa. And then they produce one out of five eggs in the United States. I mean, this is going to be something really serious if we now have this massive bird flu outbreak that, oh, of course, the vaccine companies are working on a vaccine for people and chickens. But if it starts wiping out our livestock, like by the millions at a time, guys, they got us coming and going. You got a couple 20 chickens there to make up for the year's worth of meat that's not going to be available now? I mean, where does this end? And, I mean, we got bovine diseases. We have swine flus. I just actually saw, I was looking at swine flu, and I thought I just saw something now about swine flu. So put on a seatbelt. Here, hold on. Let's scroll up here. Oh, I also found a video, and it actually was, I mentioned the show yesterday, but it was interesting because it was on Michael's channel, Unlock the Door with Michael Cross. He's a psychology professor out of Sweden, I believe. He's from here. He's from Oregon, but he teaches there. And Michael has quite a hefty YouTube channel, so he also rips the shows after. I saw he got like 1,200 views on this one. But the episode I had mentioned, I found he had it posted, and it was titled Edward Bernays, Architect of the Consumer Mind. I'll drop that one in a chat because that was a really good one. You guys have probably heard it in replay. I know it's in his archive, but something that we all need to understand is how we have been manipulated and hijacked, and it's all psychology. All right, guys, here. Let's I'm a bit discombobulated here because I'm on the wrong machine. Here we go. The other one's completely crashed. All right. Confessions of an RX drug pusher. Let's check this out. Gwen Olson worked for 15 years as a sales representative for Johnson & Johnson as well as Bristol-Myers Squibb. And I mean, any high-end salesperson will tell you that there definitely is a method to being able to sell ice to the Eskimos, right? And I mean, that's pretty much what you're doing, especially if you're competing against all these other companies and there's multiple products that'll do the job that your product will do. You know, there's all kinds of ways to do this. And now we found out, right, no one that I have seen on this planet, except when it went through and we brought it up, has really talked about the fact that Obamacare is not a healthcare plan, right? Do you remember me mentioning that? And by not being a healthcare plan, they are no longer covered under the laws that prevented fraud, that prevented kickbacks and payoffs to doctors and such to sell someone's medicine over somebody else's. All of that is now not illegal as it once was. It was a protection that was put into place to protect Medicare and Medicaid against fraud. But those were considered health care plans when they voted that Obamacare was not a health care plan. They did too. They opened the door. So those fraud protections are no longer there. So anyway, knowing that, knowing how pharmaceutical companies are, and now let's listen to Gwen Olson. It kind of paints a really scary picture.
My name is Gwen Olson, and I am the author of Confessions of an Rx Drug Pusher. I'm a 15-year veteran of the pharmaceutical industry, and I left in the year 2000. And what I would like to do today is I would like to dispel the myth that the pharmaceutical industry is in the business of health and healing. Because in fact, what the pharmaceutical industry is in the business of doing is disease maintenance and symptoms management. They are not in the business to cure cancer, to cure Alzheimer's, to cure heart disease, because if they were, they would be in the business of putting themselves out of business. And that, in fact, doesn't make sense. I don't want people thinking that I am a conspiracy theorist, because, in fact, there is no theory behind what I'm telling you. It's all provable. And what I'm saying is provable is that the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want to cure people. You need to understand, specifically when we're talking about psychiatric drugs in particular, that these are drugs that encourage people to remain customers of the pharmaceutical industry. In fact, you will be told if you're given a drug such as an anxiolytic or an antidepressant or an antipsychotic drug that you may be on the drug for the rest of your life. And very frequently, people find that they are on the drugs for a very long period of time, if not permanently, because they're almost impossible to get off of. Some of them can have very serious withdrawal symptoms. Most of them can have extremely serious withdrawal symptoms if they're stopped cold turkey. But some people even experience withdrawal symptoms when they try to titrate or they try to eliminate the drug little by little, day after day. So it's really important to understand the motivation behind all of the current maintenance drugs that are on the market, even, for example, drugs such as cholesterol-lowering drugs. And what we are in fact finding now is that cholesterol drugs are lowering cholesterol excessively and causing other disease states as a consequence. So you need to be careful about trying to take drugs in order to remain healthy, because you're never going to have anyone come to you and tell you that the drugs are always tried against a placebo in clinical trials. What a placebo is a sugar pill. And in fact, many drugs are not found to be much more efficacious than the sugar pill. And in a case in point, actually, is the recent clinical trials that were released in the meta-analysis that came out of the UK on antidepressants, on the newer SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor antidepressants. And what was found was the information that activists and other researchers have known for decades was that antidepressants are no more effective than placebo, no more effective than sugar pills. But yet there are over 44 million people that have been taking these antidepressants, and a large number of them people that have mild to moderate depressive episodes. In fact, they prove that the antidepressants were not effective in anyone with the exception of some of the most severely depressed patients. And I can tell you from personal experience that there are a number of things that depressed patients can do to improve their mental status aside from drugs that are quite effective and, in fact, more effective than placebo. Another recent study that was released showed that exercise was, in fact, more effective than either placebo or the antidepressant drug that they were compared to. But just like Bill Maher said in his show, you know, we're never going to hear any ads on television that are sponsored by anybody saying, you know, the New England Journal just announced that exercise is twice as effective as antidepressants in curing depression. Ask your doctor if getting your butt off the couch is right for you.
You know, she brings up a good point. I mean, we've been looking at brain chemicals, and exercise absolutely helps produce dopamine. I believe it was dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, all the great body chemicals that help boost your brain. And that's without the use of any drugs. And we know most of everything she's talking about here. I mean, we know that it's bullshit. We know that side effects typically are worse than the drug that they put us on, except that they make you a slave to these drugs. And look at any of your family members, your older family members, your grandparents, your parents, and look at how the for the ones that are still in the system and still see the world as we used to see the world, look at how many drugs that they've gotten them on. And, you know, sometimes they're taking drugs to help fix the side effects of the other drugs that they have them on for simple things such as cholesterol or high blood pressure, things that there are natural remedies out there that if, you know, if there was a perfect world and we were doing our own medicine, you know, I would recommend trying 22 different natural remedies before I ever again got myself onto a pharmaceutical. All right, here we go.
You know, you're never going to get that kind of good information, fair, balanced information, as long as pharma is funding the major TV stations, the advertising that supports those television stations, the major journals, and all of the advertising that supports the major journals. You just have to be commonsensical, people, and understand that the pharmaceutical industry makes 5 to 6 times the amount of money as any of the other Fortune 500 companies in the United States of America. They are not going to easily or readily give up that income. And we are, in fact, considered a human commodity. Our loved ones, our children, our elders,
ding, ding, ding,
considered cash cows that are preyed upon by pharmaceutical reps such as myself, who are encouraged to go in and build market shares without thinking about the consequences to patients, without knowing the misinformation that they are distributing, without being aware that the clinical data has been contrived or that the patient populations have been cherry-picked or that the side effects have been minimized and reported in such a manner that it doesn't present the information correctly. I spent 15 years in this industry. I was one of the best, but I'm here to tell you that the industry has run amok, that we are at a severe crossroads in this nation, and that we have got to take our power back, and we have got to start making the pharmaceutical industry accountable for their actions and for the defective products that they're putting on the market. It won't be long before every American is affected by this disaster. And we need to be aware of what the differences are between diseases, between disorders, and between syndromes. Because if it doesn't have to be scientifically proven, if there are no tests, if there are no blood tests, CAT scans, urine tests, MRIs, if there is nothing to document that you have a disease, then you in fact do not have a disease, disorder. And it has been given and has been diagnosed pretentiously. And you need to get yourself educated and understand that there are options, and those options are much more effective than drugs. You need to look into the nutritional aspects of your diet and your lifestyle aspects. Are you exercising? Are you taking care of yourself in the ways that you need to be proactive about your health? Because once you start down the road of taking one prescription drug on top of the other, you will be a lifelong customer for the pharmaceutical industry, and your choices will be truncated. So I would like to ask you to please self-educate, be proactive, and share the information with others. The next victim could be someone that you love. Thank you.
Wow, GwenOlson.com. That was great. I'm glad I looked up her name. I've mentioned her so many times. Yeah, you know, I mean, from somebody who has been in the industry for that many years, I mean, listen to somebody like that. I mean, that definitely is coming from someone who knows the way the game is played. I'm sure there's many things that she can't tell us for fear of them coming after her. But just from the things that she can tell us, doesn't sound too good. And she even said what we've been saying all along. We are a commodity. We are the next profit. And if you are not sick, and there is no disease, and they haven't been able to find it with any tests, then you shouldn't be taking anything. You know, make sure that you use nutrition. And remember, though, we found out with glyphosate, There are problems trying to get the nutrition out of our food now. So, I mean, that presents another problem. And with lack of nutrition, that can cause diseases, which then puts you back into the scary hamster wheel again. But, you know, one of the things, too, I wanted to talk about. So I think now with all of these, whatever you want to call them, outbreaks that have been spinning up across the United States. And here, let's look really quick. I'm going to go to the UCY page and see. Ah, son of a bitch. I hate when I'm completely discombobulated. PC-wise, doesn't make it fun for me. Requires too much brain work and is too early in the morning. But getting back to a lot of these plaguey things that are going on around us, you know, it's time to keep your eye on the ball. They are positioning themselves to jump ahead. And I was just reading something by 2017. I don't know. I get like weeks worth of stuff that we've never touched on. But, you know, pay attention. When they started recommending that people get in line to get Fido inoculated for the new dog flu, which was bird flu, which now I'm really confused because it's all over the Midwest, yet I haven't heard one freaking thing about it on mainstream news until just a couple days ago. Here, let's see. Bird flu, Midwest, you know, and it's almost like they kept it as quiet as possible until it was so freaking out of control that now, see, that's the mistake they always make. They start reporting things when they're still small. So by the time they get big, everyone's going, oh, bullshit, bullshit, you know, because it always looks very orchestrated. But in this case, they're saying that it is from wild birds landing, but it is this massive, massive. I thought I saw 12 states. Hold on. Let's look. April 21st. This one's out of AP. Scientists believe 70 degree temperatures will kill the deadly flu virus. And the change in weather can't come fast enough for producers in some Midwestern states struggling to contain a virulent strain of bird flu that has killed nearly 6.7 million turkeys and chickens since March. I mean, that was just a month ago. I'm getting an eye twitch over this one because this is really serious. In less than a month, we've lost over 6.7 million turkeys and chickens. And I wonder if that is including now this 5.3 million chickens that they're going to be taking out. Says, what's the latest? The number of hens that'll have to be killed at a Northwest Iowa farm was revised down Tuesday from 5.3 million. Oh, so now it's only got to be 3.8 million. That's still the largest number of poultry in one spot to be affected. Well, yeah, this isn't China where they routinely do that. This is the United States. I am very floored that this has been going on and it didn't come out until just now. I mean, within the last few days is the very first. Hey, with Pigmind's videos, I see the headlines every single day. There was nothing about this in there until just a few days ago. But there were about all these other, you know, whooping cough and listeria and whatever the other one was. What was the HIV outbreak now? Biggest ever happening. And there was one more. There were four of them. But now the bird flu. Says a total in this one, it says 8 Midwestern states. In a clip we heard yesterday, we heard potentially 12, Iowa included, have been affected by the H5N2. And Tuesday, 4 more farms, 3 in Minnesota, 1 in South Dakota, also confirmed outbreaks. U.S. Department of Agriculture officials say the virus could be a problem for several years. Have we had it this bad before? I mean, I know they've warned about it. Be careful of those migrating birds here in the spring. We got the Canadian geese that all fly over. And they've warned about that before. But I don't ever remember this many birds in the U.S. Being affected at all. Since U.S. Department of Agriculture officials say that the virus could be a problem for several years, USDA Chief Veterinary Officer Dr. John Clifford said on Tuesday that once temperatures reach 70, the new cases should drop off as the virus does not survive well in warm weather. So it's weird. It survives in cold weather also. In Minnesota, where many turkey farms have been affected, temperatures barely reached 40 in some spots on Tuesday. Federal and state agriculture officials are confident the current quarantine, surveillance, and biosecurity measures. Oh, is this just a test? Quarantine, surveillance, and biosecurity measures will limit the spread, though any significant spreading of the virus would be cause for concern. Resurgence is expected this fall with wild waterfowl that are natural carriers of avian influenza, and they fly south for the winter. What kind of flu is this exactly? H5N2 is a highly contagious virus that kills commercial poultry quickly once it gets into the barn. The risk to the public is considered low, and infected birds and eggs are kept out of the food supply. Only two egg operations have been affected, one in Iowa, one in Wisconsin. Except for a couple backyard flocks, all other cases have been at commercial turkey farms. 28 turkey farms in Minnesota, the nation's top turkey-producing state, have been affected more than anywhere else. Well, put on a seatbelt for Thanksgiving then. Experts say it's because of thousands of ponds and lakes which are attractive to migrating ducks and waterfowl. It appears that turkeys pass the strain of the virus on to others more easily than chickens. Fatality rate in turkeys is often 100% versus about 60% in chickens. 100% in turkeys when they get affected. H5N2 and other pathogenic strains have also been found since late last year among wild birds, backyard flocks, and commercial farms in some western states and British Columbia. Aren't most commercial poultry barns tightly controlled to keep diseases out? They are, but they are not airtight. Poultry farms with, ding, 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 good biosecurity. Is that going to be the new buzz term? I think we got to be watching this. Wow, it's making my eyes start twitching. Biosecurity, people. Ding, 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 ding. I think this is what we need to be watching for. I think that this is exactly what's going on. And, I mean, when we look at now this whole big vaccine debate and argument and bills now potentially getting passed and adult vaccination programs, et cetera, with all these other pathogens rolling out in different places here and there, and now they're using keywords such as biosecurity and strictly limiting who and what is allowed in. Let's go back to the early days of the quote-unquote Ebola when we talked about quarantine and then the executive order that was passed. I don't know. I just know when I read this stuff, you know, those red things start to stand up and go, look over here. This is going to be the next thing to pay attention to. It says workers often have to shower, wear protective coveralls, step in disinfectant, while equipment coming in and out is typically sanitized. But the system doesn't always work, and rodents and wild birds can bring in the virus. Clifford said that it is even possible for windblown feathers and dust exposed to wild bird droppings to spread it. You know, if it is that easy to spread, and then this dog flu that, you know, now that's kind of wanted to spin out of the news cycle, but we found out, and it's right in the same general area, by the way. It started in Chicago, and last year it spread to like 26 states or something. Oh, look, now nothing goes anywhere on this computer. We must be searching things that, you know, one of the things I talked about the other day was some messing with me that I've noticed YouTube doing on certain videos. And it seems to be anything that's got vaccine in it is definitely one place where all of a sudden your ISOs don't render, or the video doesn't finish processing properly, or it doesn't auto share, or you can't monetize it for no reason whatsoever. And yet now that we're looking up pathogens, I just have spinny tab on my browsers again. I don't know. But you know what's so interesting about all of these pathogens that seem to be just crawling out of the woodwork, and then the exposure of the FDA fraud for a lot of these studies that have been published in scientific journals, the anti-vaxxer attack, and GlaxoSmithKline, I was right yesterday. It was like a $6.3 million lawsuit that they ended up losing to pay out, and it was for the oh, maybe that was the swine flu where I had seen news about swine flu. It was the swine flu vaccine that had caused brain damage. Hold on. Swine flu and Galaxo. But they just had to do this mass payout. Oh, this one, $90 million. Yeah, it was 63 million pounds, I believe, which equals approximately $90 million. But in light of this news coming out as well, they got to ramp up the debate even more, because people, I think it's starting to cause a crack in the facade. It's starting to cause a crack in that illusion that they have painted for us. Right, that they've convinced the majority of America and probably a good part of the world, though I know in Africa they're not too keen on vaccines. They're holding them at gunpoint. But there's been a crack in the glass that people are starting to see some of the ugly facts through. And with this story coming out the other day about Galaxo, it was a 63 million pound lawsuit. And Galaxo has paid out $9.1 billion with a B dollars since 2003 in injury suits. But remember, Gwen, and I don't think she actually mentioned in that clip, but when she was on doing the interview with April and Verstein, she had said about the profits are so massive that it's actually cheaper for them to put something out and then get sued after the fact and take all their profits to pay whatever lawsuit it is, because than it is to do the R&D, because the profits are just so outrageous. But so on the heels of all this, though, a new study came out, and it was just the other day, that announced, and like this was the story that I had some dumb person like talking about tinfoil hats in the notes, like, you know, oh, they can make put all their tinfoil hats away now, and stating that there was a study that came out, MMR vaccine does not have a link to autism. So to you people, and I'm like, wait a second. All of a sudden, out of the blue, after all this research, and there were all kinds of different studies that had shown some sort of connection to MMR. Out of the blue, a story comes out and says, nope, nope, nope. MMR is safe. Now, we'll get there after this. So I'm very glad they did this. Brandon Turville and Heather Callaghan teamed up and wrote a story together about this study, quote unquote, about no link to autism with MMR, and nothing like a double whammy hard hitter. So I'm pretty psyched about this independent study. By the way, you ever want to go check out Heather's website? It's naturalblaze.com. Independent study finding no MMR autism link. Not so independent. Go, Brandon and Heather. For those who may be critical of the process of vaccination, particularly its safety and effectiveness, it is a known fact that there has never been a study proving safety or effectiveness that was not linked to a pharmaceutical firm or vaccine maker. And she does have references in here. Indeed, if vaccines were so easy to prove safe and effective, then certainly an entirely government-funded or independent agency would have done so by now. And we also learned all about the legislation that went through a few years ago that protects all these guys, that protects them from people coming after them with class action suits or whatever during the state of an emergency when it's been declared. And I've been saying this, let's wait and see. Just like what happened with Ebola, just like what happened with swine flu, you watch. We're going to have the next big national emergency for one of these pathogens that's percolating right now. Looks like it's probably going to be bird flu if people and dogs and chickens and turkeys start getting it, but I don't know. Let's watch. With the recent mainstream media hype, however, one would be tempted to believe that such an independent study is finally taking place, proving that the MMR vaccine is not linked to autism. However, brief research into the alleged independent quote-unquote review panel of the new darling of the month MMR is not related to autism study reveals that this is not the case. For instance, the organization that conducted the study is the Lewin Group, a corporate healthcare consulting firm based in Falls Church, Virginia. The Lewin Group works with a wide variety of players in the medical establishment, most notably major pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Novo Nordisk, among others. It should also be noted that at least two of the three corporations are not only vaccine proponents, but they are also vaccine manufacturers. Gee, go figure. The Lewin Group also works with a number of major medical and pharmaceutical associations and organizations like the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers Association of America. In addition to working with federal, state, and local governments, the Lewin Group works with a variety of foundations such as the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Heritage Foundation, as well as a number of hospitals, health systems, and healthcare providers. The Lewin Group is especially involved in major medical insurance programs like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Health Now New York, LA Care Health Plan, the Kaiser Foundation Health Plan, and WellCare, among many others. In addition to these big connections to pharmaceutical companies and the medical establishment, the mainstream media attempts to present the Lewin Group as being free from influence of their own clients and associates. In addition, the mainstream media conveniently leaves out the fact that the Lewin Group is not independent in as much as it is wholly owned by the nation's largest health insurer, United Health Group. Please. Oh, twitchy eye. Seriously. I mean, people don't do their research and they just believe everything they are told. So, I mean, we got half the pro-vaxxers out there now, probably more than half, three quarters of them, jumping up and down, pointing, going, you stupid anti-vaxxers, see, there's never been a connection. There never will be a connection. So line right up and get whatever the newest concoction is that they want to use you as the guinea pig for. Interestingly enough, United Health has seen its business grow over the last year due to the surge in customers forced into the market under Obamacare. It is thus no small wonder why United Health lobbied so hard to even eliminate a public portion from the Affordable Care Act during the stage in which the bill is being debated. United Health lobbyists used work provided by the Lewin Group as a basis for its argument that providing a public opinion would kill the private insurance industry. So did they like get it when that bill was up for debate? Did their lobbyists, is that what that's saying? That they eliminated the public option, which is the public opinion period? Because it would kill the private insurance industry. Oh, public option. I'm sorry. Never mind. It's early. The public option for insurance versus the private health insurance. That's what it was. Those few Democrats, so they have their own lobbyists is basically all it says. Those few Democrats in the U.S. Congress that disagreed were apt to point out the conflict of interest between Lewin Group's finding and United Health's desires, referring to the Lewin Group's work as, quote, so-called analysis and suspect. It is thus highly unfortunate that the Lewin Group's conflict of interest and shady findings could be pointed out in 2009, but not in 2015. Wow. And this is the company that supposedly did the independent research to, quote unquote, prove that the MMR vaccine does not cause autism. According to the mainstream, these conflicts of interest do not exist. However, United Health has been a major promoter of vaccines through its health insurance program and vaccination campaigns. The promotion of vaccination by United Health has gone far beyond the realms of simply providing vaccines as a service or following medical recommendations. It has been a, quote, comprehensive program designed to promote vaccines, complete with targeted messaging for diverse populations across age, race, and ethnicity to increase vaccine rates. And I think I told you that right now, I was reading a bunch of things a while back, but right now there appears to be some sort of standing order at many of the doctor's offices for adults. And I believe that that is part of that national immunization campaign to get everybody up on their boosters. That if you come in and you haven't had, you know, your booster and this, that, and the other thing, that's the first thing they hit you up with. They ask you the questions. You say no, they're going to be setting them up to give you a poke. I never used to argue. I mean, before I knew about any of this, I never argued. I always thought that it was a smart thing to do. I'd go for my yearly physical and get all of my shots and whatever else I had to do, swabs. And I thought I was, you know, going to live forever. It's never again, just absolutely never again. I always thought that these people at least had partially part of my best interest at heart, not their profit. United Health's program through subsidiaries like United Healthcare also sought to, quote, increase awareness of the disease and promote convenient access points. With all this information correctly understood, it should be clear that the Lewin Group is no independent observer. To present it as such is at best dishonest and at worst part of a coordinated campaign, this is exactly it, to promote dangerous pharmaceutical products that have been demonstrated to cause serious damage to adults and especially children. While legitimate research has demonstrated the harmful effects of vaccines, particularly the MMR shot, it has been demonized and mocked, and the researchers have been prosecuted, persecuted by whorish media outlets that had to be Brandon's term, whorish media outlets, unrestrained corporations, and narcissistic medical fanatics. Yeah. Meanwhile, hack studies and purchase scientists are presented as the epitome of scientific development. The truth is that there has never been a study proving vaccines are safe or effective that was not connected to the pharmaceutical companies or the vaccine makers. The mainstream media's recent jaunt has yet to change this fact. And you know what, guys? Absolutely, 100% true. Don't believe the bullshit. And I just could not get over how many people jumped on that study when it was published yesterday on just on Facebook in the notes. And we're just tearing anyone questioning the vaccine establishment a new hole about how absolutely irresponsible we are as parents and in society, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just, it made the pit of my stomach as sick as you could imagine, because we're never going to win this. They have so brainwashed these people to believe that they have to line up and get whatever they're given because it's in their best interest. I just dropped that story in the chat. It's at naturalblaze.com. If anyone wants to reference that, titled Independent Study Finding No MMR Autism Link, Not So Independent. I will put that into the notes of the show after it rips to YouTube. So, all right, we're getting near the end here. So I want to look at There's so many things here to look at. I think on Monday I'm going to look at some new stuff about the gut and some of our gut bacteria. Remember, every time you put any of these pharmaceuticals into our body, and I mean, it depends, of course, what it is, but anytime you put any type of chemical into your body, it affects your chemical balance, whether it be killing certain beneficial bacteria off, if it means reducing the number of red blood cells your body produces, or the brain chemicals, serotonin, dopamine, whatever. There's always, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So for any chemical that you put into your body is going to have some reaction to that, and it's not always good. I mean, that's something that we're starting to really discover here, is that even if we don't know what that reaction is, even if right off the bat you swallow that pill or you take that shot and you don't feel any different, does not mean that it is not causing some sort of changes to happen that we found now in the land of antibiotics and your gut flora, the microbiome, that could influence and change you forever. And as a matter of fact, when we looked at that fecal transplant for people that had that horrible disorder that's caused by antibiotics, where their gut flora never really fully comes back, and they do this, last ditch effort, quote unquote, fecal transplant, that the bacteria in the fecal transplant replaces your own bacteria. And we found in some studies that they were doing with cats and dogs that we can pick up bacteria from other species, and literally they can change your personality. They can go in and change the way your body interacts with itself. There's one study here that I haven't seen anyone cover. I posted it in a few places and it's kind of been sitting here, but this is illustrating case in point. They have now found that contraceptive pills, so the pill, shrinks part of the brain influencing emotions. Now, what American woman in the United States hasn't at one point in time in their young, promiscuous life not been on birth control? And I mean, maybe I'm sure that there's probably a large number of people that weren't, but they used to give those out like candy in the 80s and the 90s. Check this out. California scientists have discovered contraceptive pills, and those are hormones, as well as who knows what else, may change the structure of their users' brains eventually, leading to, hey, lifelong customers for the pharmaceutical companies, leading to anxiety and depression. Maybe that's why 70% of America's on SSRIs. The new finding adds to quite an array of previously known side effects, including headaches, mood swings, nausea, blood clots, breast, liver, and colon and cervical cancers. Yeah, if those weren't bad enough, now they change your brain. In particular, the synthetic hormones in the pill shrinks two principal regions in the brain, changing their structure and their function. I mean, this is horrifying. I couldn't believe this when I was reading it. Also, that same ingredient, that synthetic hormone, is believed to suppress your natural hormones. Neuroscientists at the University of California, Los Angeles, studied the brains of 90 women, 44 of whom took the contraceptive pill. Researchers found that the lateral orbitofrontal cortex and the posterior cingulate cortex were much thinner in women who took the pill. The lateral orbitofrontal cortex regulates a person's emotions and response to rewards. Hey, isn't that the dopamine area? Or at least in the dopamine cycle, that is the whole reward cycle. While the posterior cingulate cortex governs the internal state, inward-aimed thoughts, processing of emotions, and finding of memories. Taking the pill can lead to increased anxiety and depression and other alarming symptoms, such as decreased attraction to their partner. Well, that would happen with depression. Some women experience negative emotional side effects from taking oral contraceptive pills, although scientific findings have been mixed. So it is possible that this change in the lateral orbital frontal cortex may be related to the emotional changes that some women experience when using birth control pills, Nicole Peterson, the researcher's lead author, told Huffington Post. This actually is a story in RT. Scientists say that they aren't certain if the effects last after a woman stops taking the... Well, Jesus, maybe they should be looking into that. They aren't certain if the effects last after a woman stops taking the contraceptive pill. Furthermore, all risks associated with the pill increase if a woman smokes, has thrombosis, is overweight, diabetic, has high blood pressure, or high cholesterol. And get this. This study was published in the Human Brain Mapping Journal. I didn't know there was such a journal. Maybe we should dig that one up. Here, I'm going to drop that one in the chat as well. So remember, like I said, if that wasn't an illustration, anything you put in your body could have unintended side effects. It's going to affect some sort of balance that you had. Even colors, they've discovered now, help set the body's circadian rhythms for awake and sleep time. And maybe we'll start there on Monday. This is actually a pretty interesting story. I knew light and dark did, but I did not know about different colors, which is very interesting. All right, guys, if you can even believe it, we have managed to whack out another hour, number 5 this week. It is Friday. Fridays are awesome. I am off. Well, not off, but I'm not on air for 2 days. So it means I can just sit here quietly and cut shows all weekend. All right, guys, make sure you stick around tonight. Friday's always a good night. Josh is live, 6 p.m. Eastern. We now have Nathan Fraser, if you missed it, 3 to 5 p.m. running Monday through Friday. Brandon Turville, Truth on the Tracks, Primetime Radio with Michael and Nick, 8 to 9 p.m. United Front Radio with Daniela and Anti-Media with LaVon tonight. Make sure you come back this weekend and we'll catch up with you Monday. Take care.